I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today, Dr. Phil Watkins, received his bachelor's in psychology from the University of Oregon and his PhD from Louisiana State University. He has taught in the psychology department at Eastern Washington University since 1990. After investigating memory biases and depression, Phil shifted his focus to gratitude and how it impacts well-being. He developed one of the most utilized measures of gratitude, the GRAT, and has been called a pioneer in gratitude research. He has remained active in the science of gratitude, and his research now focuses on how gratitude enhances happiness. He has published a number of scientific papers on gratitude and has also published two books. His first book, Gratitude and the Good Life, is on the current science of gratitude. More recently, he published Positive Psychology 101, which is written for a more general audience on the science of happiness and positive psychology by Springer Publishers in New York. More information is available at greatergood.berkeley.edu/author/Phil.Watkins. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Watkins, and I look forward to hearing about gratitude. Now, first, how did you get interested in gratitude as your area of study?
That's an interesting story, and it's kind of a long story, but I'll try to make it fairly short. I actually went to a religious conference, and two of the speakers were talking about something that I thought was interesting, and I thought, well, they're both talking about gratitude, and yet, and this was in the mid-90s, about 1995, but they didn't really use the word, and I thought, gee, have we in psychology studied gratitude much at all? And I did a quick lit search and confirmed my suspicions that we had done almost nothing. So my main area of research at that time was clinical depression and negative memory biases in depression. And I continued in that area, but I was started to tinker around with gratitude toward the end of the late 90s. And while my depression research was interesting and I loved it, it kept hitting a few roadblocks. The gratitude research just kept going. I mean, there were more and more and more good things in my research that just seemed to be attached to gratitude, and so I kept going with it. And then I got in touch with Bob Emmons, who invited me to a Templeton-sponsored gratitude, it was called Kindling the Science of Gratitude in Dallas, Texas, I think it was in 2000. And that was a very formative experience for me, too, because I got to know some really good researchers, and my association with Bob Emmons has been a wonderful association. And it's just, the research just kept popping up good things and positive results, and it's just been a very exciting ride for me. So I'm really grateful for gratitude research, actually, because it really kind of invigorated my academic career, and it's been a wonderful ride for me. So,
well, I'm happy you have, too, because I did write to Dr. Emmons 3 or 4 different weeks, and he never responded. And
he's a very busy man. Oh, so is he? I don't know how he gets done all of it that he gets done, but he's very busy because, of course, he is one of the leading gratitude researchers and has written popular books, as you know, in gratitude, and, of course, is senior editor of the Journal of Positive Psychology. And I was associate editor for him for 3 or 4 years for that journal, and I know how much work just an associate editor has. So, yeah, he's a pretty busy guy.
But you are, too, because I know how busy professors are, having been an academic for many, many years. You know, you have very little free time, so I really appreciated your taking the time to talk with me.
Oh, my pleasure.
Then, how do you define gratitude?
Well, I think it's important to to first of all talk about what level of analysis we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about gratitude as an emotion, or we can talk about gratitude more as a virtue or a human strength or a personality trait.
Mm-hmm.
And so as an emotion, gratitude is a positive emotion that we experience when we affirm that something good has happened to us, and we feel like someone else is causing that good thing to happen to us. Now, mm-hmm. the someone else may be, it may be another human, it may be God, it may be some kind of a force that we personalize in some way that many people would say is not a personal agent. But I would argue, and this is somewhat controversial, I would argue that we do attribute personality in some way or a personal agency to the giver.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sense of giftedness in terms of this positive event, not just any positive event. There's a sense of giftedness and when we experience gratitude. Now, that's gratitude as the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
As the personality trait or the human strength or virtue, gratitude is simply the disposition to experience the emotion of gratitude frequently and across a wide variety of circumstances. Now, mm-hmm. that kind of begs the question as to, well, why would people do that?
Mm-hmm.
We have argued that it's primarily because grateful people high in the trait of gratitude, are people who really have the attitude that all of life is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able, of course, to appreciate the contribution of others in their life. They're able to appreciate simple pleasures. In other words, they don't have to wait till a trip to Maui to feel grateful. They can feel grateful just for a good conversation that they have with another person or a really good tasting latte or something like that. And thirdly, they also have a sense of abundance. Grateful people tend to feel like life has been more than good to them, whereas ungrateful people tend to feel like they've been ripped off and haven't gotten all the good that they deserve and that kind of thing. So grateful people have a sense that all of life is a gift, and they appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And so you've talked about like characteristics of the grateful person. Can anyone develop that, or is that something you're born with?
That's a good question. I mean, I believe that it's probably largely learned, but there are probably some biological factors that go into it, too, in terms of, you know, some people just have a more sensitive reward system in their brain than other people do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it can be learned. We, you know, in terms of the science of gratitude, we really don't know how easily it can be learned or whether it really can be.
Mm-hmm.
A researcher in New York, Jeff Hoff, now I'm blanking on his last name because his university interfered with his name there. But he's done some really good research with training gratitude in children and presented some evidence that suggests that we can actually develop our trait of gratitude, and we're working on some training modules too, focused on can we change people's interpretation style,
mm-hmm.
so that
mm-hmm.
it promotes gratitude. But we don't, you know, I would like to believe, and there's a little bit of evidence that we can develop our trait of gratitude, but not a lot
mm-hmm.
of evidence
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
yet.
So you think eventually there will be a process that people can go through that will allow them to develop gratitude?
I would hope so. That's certainly my
mm-hmm.
hope. And
mm-hmm.
kind of developing training programs for that is I think, one of our major tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I would guess that critical in that development is what kids are trained in terms of developing gratitude and
mm-hmm.
trained to recognize gifts in their life and good things in their life and not to just let them pass by and to really appreciate those and savor them and express their gratitude to others
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably going to end up being very important, particularly for kids. But hopefully, you know, that just because we're struggling with gratitude as adults, hopefully we can develop training programs that actually help adults do that
mm-hmm.
too. So that's
mm-hmm.
my hope in the future.
Right, that would be great. Can gratitude be measured?
Yeah, I think it can. And again, we measure it at both the level of the emotional state and then more of the trait of gratitude. And the two measures of the trait of gratitude that have been used is Bob Emmons and Mike McCullough's measure called the GQ-6, the Gratitude Questionnaire 6. And fairly short questionnaire, looks like it, and it looks like it's a valid questionnaire of the measure of the trait of gratitude. And then there's my GRAT, and I have several versions, then a long version and a short version that measures gratitude as a trait too, and it looks like it's a pretty good measure of the trait of gratitude. Now, of course, those are measures that we just ask people questions, mm-hmm. and people love to think of themselves in positive ways. So mm-hmm. a lot of the responses are bunched up more toward the top end of the range of the scale. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's a problem. And so one of my students is working with me on developing an implicit measure of gratitude, which would be a measure where people wouldn't really know what we were measuring, but in some way might reliably tap the trait of gratitude. But we'll just have to see whether that works out.
Mm-hmm. Now, didn't you have a scale called the Gratitude, Resentment, and Appreciation Test?
Right, and short for, and yeah, the GRAT, that's the GRAT that I was talking about.
Okay.
So the acronym
good.
Is GRAT, and you're right, it stands for the Gratitude, Resentment, and Appreciation Test, right?
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Then, what causes gratitude?
Well, again, I think it's important to look at whether we're looking at it as an emotion or as a trait. As an emotion, there's four recognitions of gratitude that I've identified that the research has pointed to that enhances the likelihood we would experience gratitude. So four recognitions of gratitude. The first recognition is recognizing the gift itself. So, you know, a lot of really good things happen in our life that we never even recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And grateful people will tend to recognize those things. And so the first thing, you know, first trick is to actually recognize the good in our life or to actually notice and look for the good in our life.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly is to recognize the goodness of the gift. So the more we value a gift or a benefit in our life, the more likely we are going to experience gratitude. The more we see it as a benefit to us, the more we see the value of it. And then thirdly, to recognize the goodness of the giver. The more we see that someone has given us this gift for our benefit, not for their own benefit or for they're trying to manipulate us or something like that, the more we see that they're doing it for our benefit, the more we see that it costs them something to give them this gift, the more likely we are to experience gratitude. And then finally, kind of the curious one is, the fourth recognition of gratitude is that when you recognize the gratuitousness of the gift, you're more likely to experience gratitude. And by that, what I mean is, you know, when I say gratuitous, that means something above and beyond. You know, when we talk about gratuitous violence, it's like, well, you know, I didn't need to see that in the movie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gratuitous, when we recognize a gift as gratuitous, in other words, it goes above and beyond our social expectations of the other person, we're much more likely to experience gratitude. So, for example, one old study showed that when people get a ride to the airport, they feel much less gratitude toward their mothers than they would toward their friend or a stranger giving them a ride. Now, that doesn't make any evolutionary or adaptive sense, because our mothers have, if the only purpose of gratitude is to reinforce the other person so that they keep giving us good things, then we should experience more gratitude toward our mothers. But we actually experience less. Why? I think it's primarily because that's what we expect of mom. She should do that for me, and therefore we don't feel much gratitude toward her. So the implication there is, if we lower our expectations of others or what we think we're entitled to from others, we're much more likely to experience gratitude.
Interesting. You mentioned benefits. What are the benefits of gratitude?
Okay. Well, there are lots of benefits. And the primary benefit, of course, is happiness. Grateful people are happy people. Of course, you might argue that it's not so much that gratitude causes happiness. Maybe it's that happiness causes gratitude. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a happy person, it's easy to be grateful, which is probably true. But the research seems to show that the more powerful direction of causation is from gratitude to happiness. And moreover, there are now a number of experimental studies that have either manipulated gratitude as a state or tried to instill gratitude in people over time that have shown that exercises of gratitude actually increase people's happiness. And there's some very positive results in that regard. And so the primary benefit looks like it's in terms of your emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. But of course, part of the reason grateful people are happy people is because they have a really good supportive network of friends and relatives. And one of the things we've seen that's a huge benefit of gratitude is that gratitude enhances your social well-being too. So people really like grateful people. When you experience gratitude, it helps you bind with another person, helps develop your relationship with another person, helps remind you of what the good relationships and good things about those relationships are. And Sarah Algo's done a number of really good studies in this area showing that gratitude is really important for our social well-being. Mm-hmm. And so I like to say that, you know, why is gratitude good? Gratitude amplifies the good in your life. It amplifies the good of your experience of good things. It amplifies the good in your social relationships. It even amplifies the good in yourself. There's good evidence that when you're feeling grateful, you're much more likely to do good to other people. And gratitude amplifies the blessings in our life, and I think that's the main reason that it enhances our happiness. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little bit of evidence, not a lot yet, but a little bit of evidence that gratitude is actually good for your physical well-being as well. You're probably familiar with the nun study, which took nuns' spiritual autobiographies and just looked at how long they lived, and the more positive their spiritual autobiography was, the longer they lived. And the interesting thing about that is much of the positivity in their spiritual autobiographies was gratitude. And so there's now some pretty good evidence, although still, I would say, preliminary, that gratitude does provide some physical benefits as well.
Good. Great. You mentioned social support. Does gratitude enhance your coping ability, or is that the social support that sometimes goes along with gratitude?
It's probably both, but that's another good point. You know, why are grateful people happy people? One of the reasons seems to be that grateful people are just really good at coping with bad stuff in their life. Well, why? Well, part of it is probably because of the social support that they receive, because people like grateful people, and when you go through a bad time in your life, then those people are going to be there to help you. But there's also evidence, both from my lab and from Nate Lambert's lab, that what grateful people are very good at positively reframing or reappraising negative events. So they're really good at taking a negative event and still able to see what good consequences they might be grateful for. We actually showed this in an experiment when we did some students recall a painful memory, and then we had them write about it 3 days in terms of a grateful reappraisal. We asked them basically just to write about the event and write about. And we said, don't call that bad event good. That's very important. You don't want to call it something that's bad good. But we wanted them to identify maybe positive consequences from that event that they can now feel grateful for. And we showed some really good, it tends to kind of bring closure to the memory. People felt better about their painful memory. And the memory became less intrusive as well. So there were some really good results from that. And when you ask people just to describe, you know, painful events from their past. In fact, we found that grateful people were about three times more likely to positively reframe or reappraise their negative, the negative event that was associated with that memory. So that may be one of the greatest benefits of gratitude, is it just really helps us cope well with bad stuff in our life.
You mentioned the nun story. The nun study. Well, there was a nun story, too, I believe.
Yeah.
But I meant the nun study. Would you consider gratitude a spiritual attribute?
Well, you know, we have to be careful. I've done a little bit of work in the psychology of religion, too. One of the one of the problems with the word spiritual is it gets turned into whatever people want to make it into. And so, now, I would first be quick to say that gratitude is not something that's limited to religious folks.
Right, right.
However, religious people, religious and spiritual people are more grateful and do value gratitude more, and that may be one of the main reasons that religious and spiritual people actually are happy. In fact, we're going to present a study on that up at the Western Psychological Association meetings in a month, showing that gratitude completely mediates the effect of spirituality on happiness. So, so one of the main reasons religious people tend to be happier than less religious folks is because they're more grateful. So, yeah, I think gratitude is. It doesn't have to be a spiritual virtue, but often is in people's life. And people like myself and others are starting to look at it at another level in terms of, you know, is gratitude toward God different than our gratitude towards others? And how does that contribute to our well-being and that kind of thing?
I tend to make a distinction between religion and spirituality in that I see religion as being, having all the answers, having the dogma, having all the rules and everything, whereas spirituality I see as a search for meaning in life, a search for living a better life and interacting better with your fellow man, etc. So I see them as quite different. But I guess
that's a very popular conception.
Is it?
I would encourage you to read some of the work by Ken Pargman pointing out some of the problems with that distinction.
Oh, would you?
And I would the problem and the main problem is when you start defining spirituality as distinct from religiosity, spirituality becomes loses its meaning because it becomes most anything. So, although I think there's certainly a measure. You know, if you're talking about organized religion versus individualized religion, that's a little bit that might be more of a helpful distinction. Although there's not a lot of evidence that individualized religion actually contributes to well-being, whereas people involved with organized religion, there is good evidence for that. But yeah, that's very popular. People like to say I'm spiritual but not religious, but unfortunately what happens is when you try to look at that, well, what does that mean? Spirituality kind of loses its meaning. So,
well, I think it's also more difficult to study spirituality than it would be to study religion because you can, you know, you've got certain things that you can look at in research that, as you say, spirituality would be all over the place, so...
Yeah.
You have something called the Gratitude 3 Blessing Intervention. Have we discussed that?
I don't think we have. And that's one of my latest treatment outcome studies looked at this. And basically what you do is just every day for a week, and a lot of people kind of continue to do this, if not actually formally, they do it mentally, but just every day for a week. It might be best to do it, you know, right before you go to bed, but I'm not sure we have good evidence to suggest exactly when you should do it. But just recall three good things that have happened to you in the last 24 hours. And this is a technique developed by Marty Seligman, who I'm sure you're familiar with. And we did it a little bit differently. We asked them to recall three good things from the last 2 days,
mm-hmm.
and then asked them to write about how each thing made them feel grateful. Now, mm-hmm. Now the interesting thing is we wanted to kind of isolate gratitude. So we had two other conditions. We had a placebo condition, and then we also had a treatment that we called the Pride Three Blessings treatment, which was exactly like the Gratitude Three Blessings treatment. People recalled three good things that had happened to them in the last two days. But then they wrote about how each thing made them feel better than others or better than average. And, of course, that's kind of a pathological version of pride. But we wanted to isolate gratitude, because if we just ask them, how does each of these things make you feel good about yourself, I think gratitude would have been a significant part of a lot of their writing, and mm-hmm. we didn't want that to be part of that. So we wanted people to recall good three good things, but kind of isolate the gratitude process. And indeed, what we found was that our Gratitude Three Blessings treatment outperformed the Pride Three Blessings treatment and the placebo. And the really interesting and somewhat surprising thing, and I don't think I should have been surprised because Seligman found the same thing,
mm-hmm.
was that after the week of treatment, people's happiness kept going up. And so it kind of had this enduring effect that mm-hmm. not only maintained their happiness, but it kept going up. And we believe this is because the treatment is actually training people to kind of think about their life differently and the day-to-day experiences they encounter differently. And mm-hmm. they start to look more for the good things in their life and recognize those and pay attention to those and appreciate them. And we think that it's something to do with the psychological processes of training appreciation that causes this ongoing improvement in well-being. And in Marty Seligman's study, people's happiness was still going up at 6 months after the week-long treatment, which mm-hmm. was really mm-hmm. interesting. So that's the kind of encouraging thing, is that these treatments may not have this immediate bump in mood.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it wasn't that the people who enjoyed the treatment benefited the most from it. In fact, if anything, the people who enjoyed it least benefited from it most.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we did find that people who were lowest in the trait of gratitude gained most from the Gratitude Three Blessings
mm-hmm.
treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it has some very interesting long-term effects. And that I think we need to continue to explore.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone looked at the gratitude in people who have survived, say, cancer, who have been told they
mm-hmm.
have 6 months to live,
mm-hmm.
and then
yeah.
they live beyond? Is gratitude
yeah,
more common?
Yeah, it is. In fact, Shelley Taylor published a classic study in American Psychologist back in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
where she interviewed breast cancer victims.
Mm-hmm.
And she reported in that almost to a person, they would say that they were much more grateful now
mm-hmm.
than before the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Emmons has some evidence that the most grateful people are people that have had very difficult, life-threatening things happen to
mm-hmm.
them. And in fact, we did a study where we did a kind of a laboratory manipulation of death awareness. It's called the death reflection induction. And people who were encouraged to really look vividly at the fact that they might die showed a much greater increase in gratitude than people who just wrote about what the upcoming day was like or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's some real evidence that very difficult events can actually encourage gratitude, but it probably depends on a lot on the person
mm-hmm.
and how they
mm-hmm.
interpret those events, I would think, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this is great. Is there anything else you would like to say then, Dr. Watkins, before we look at your books and service and any products you have?
Yeah. My book is Positive Psychology 101. That's kind of a big overview of the study and the science of happiness. Mm-hmm. That one's much more reasonable to buy. Mm-hmm. My gratitude book is more of an academic book, and of course it's priced that way too. It's called Gratitude and the Good Life. But I think people who are not necessarily psychologists will enjoy that too. Mm-hmm. But. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a lot more to learn about gratitude, and I think people have gotten a little bit too excited about gratitude and kind of oversold its benefits. But that's not to say gratitude is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. It really does amplify the good in your life and improve well-being. And I'm excited about where the science of gratitude is going to go in the next 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has become very popular. I call them spiritual attributes. The one that seems to be left out is faith. I don't see a lot of research and all on faith, but, you know, forgiveness has become a big one.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Gratitude. Compassion has become a big one.
Yeah, that's important, too.
Yeah. So, but it seems like faith, I don't see, maybe that's more difficult to study, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, on the signature strengths questionnaire, faith is one of the virtues that's tapped into, and of course they try to do it in a non-sectarian way. And so, I don't think in terms of faith as a general kind of strength, human strength and virtue, I don't think there's been a lot of research on that. Mm-hmm. You're right.
And yet it's so important, I believe, especially with the connection to health. You know,
I think you're right.
Do you want to tell us anything more about your books, or do you have any services or products, and do you have a website?
You know, I have a ResearchGate website, but I'm not very good at advertising myself. My ResearchGate website is probably the best way to get a hold of some of my articles, my recent articles. And my most recent article is one where I actually looked at the inhibitors of gratitude. And with my student, Rebecca Solomon, we looked at four inhibitors of gratitude and found that three of them, narcissism, cynicism, and materialism, inhibit the development or the growth of gratitude. And as Rebecca calls them, they're thieves of thankfulness. So that was, I think, a fairly important study that we did. And I think I should post that on the site fairly soon. It's just been accepted and for publication in the Journal of Positive Psychology. But I have my two books, Positive Psychology 101, published by the Springer in New York. And that one I think most people will find within their budget. And then if they're really interested in the science of gratitude, Gratitude in the Good Life, and that's published by the Springer in Europe in Holland. So, please feel free to look those up.
She died in the last couple of years, didn't she, Ursula Springer?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I think she did. I think it's been a year, maybe 2 years. So I guess the business has gone on without her, but I didn't realize they had one in Europe. I knew about the one in New York.
Yeah, I thought they were the same publisher. They're actually publishers.
And then, did you give us the website, or did I miss that?
You know what? I'm not sure. I think you would just go through it through ResearchGate and then search my name, Philip Watkins, and should be able to find it. Yeah.
Great. Good. Well, I appreciate this very much. It's been very, very interesting to me, and I'm sure it will be to the...
Well, I sure enjoyed the conversation, too, Dr. Phil.
Good. Great. Well, I thank you again very, very much.
Okay. Well, I sure enjoyed the conversation. And
good. And keep up the good work.
All right. Yep. All right. Thanks so much. You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey, on my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.